according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary said, My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He's come to the help of his servant Israel, for he remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The prayer that orients our whole December 22nd, from awaking the dawn here at morning mass through Vespers, is O Rex Gentium, which is one of the richest of all of the O antiphons. O Rex Gentium, O King of the Nations, et desideratus earum, and the desire of all the nations, lapisque angularis, and cornerstone of all nations, qui facis utraque unum, that makes one thing out of both, that unites, in a sense, the house of Israel with all peoples. Veni, salva hominem, qui de limu formasti. Come save the human person whom you have formed from the dust. There's so much here. First, Jesus is the King of all the nations, but not just King, the long desired one of all the nations, cornerstone on the base of which any kingdom would be built. If we had had Mass together on Sunday in the second of all the O antiphons, when we focus on the Lord who is coming as Adonai, we feature then that he is the Lord of all, and he's also the Dux Domus Israel, the leader of the house of Israel. He's both at the same time. For those who have been prepared as well as for those who are new, he is Lord of them all. Today, there's that resonance that he's becoming the cornerstone of them all, and everything changes from that point forward. But there's something deeper. Desideratus earum. He is the desired of all the nations, and he seeks to do something amazing in us, to save those who he has formed from the dust. Let's parse this on the basis of these readings today. We know at the beginning of time, in that scene of Genesis, that God breathed into us the breath of life. But that breath, when he formed us from the clay, wasn't sufficient. After we had fallen, he came, and he wasn't just going to rebreathe the breath of life into us. He was going to breathe something far more. He was going to breathe on them the Holy Spirit and say, receive the Holy Spirit. At every Mass, there's a prayer that the priest prays, which is the prayer of Christmas morning. When you take a little bit of the water and put it into the wine. In the old rite, they contain one more sentence, which is cut in the new rite just for length, but Deus qui humani substantia mirabiliter, no, dignitatem mirabiliter conditisti. O God, who formed the human person miraculously, wondrously at the beginning, et mirabilius reformasti, and even more wondrously remade him. Per huius aquae et vini mysterium, eius officiam mor divinitatis consortes, qui humanitatis nostri fieri dignatus est particeps. Through this mystery of this water and wine, which is taken out obviously in the prayer of Christmas morning, but may we become partakers of the divinity of him who took on our humanity. That the great work that God is coming to save us from is to breathe in his Holy Spirit in that far more wondrous recreation. That's why he's coming. When we say, Veni, Veni, O Rex Gentium, that's what we're asking for. But we've genuinely got to examine whether we have that desire. Because we've got to desire what God is giving for us to receive it in the way he wishes to receive it. And that's something that likewise is emphasized here. When he breathes in us the breath of life, when he gives us that soul, he wants our soul, like Mary's in today's gospel, to magnify the Lord. He wants our entire nature to become who we created it to be and adore the Lord. Once we allow that in, then we're capable of rejoicing in God. And Mary gives us so many reasons for joy. He looks on us in all our lowliness. He looks on us and loves us, not because we're great, but because we're his. All generations will call us blessed because the Almighty has done great things to us. Generations today might not. All the generations who have come before us, who are at God's side, already recognize our greatness. John the Baptist certainly recognizes our greatness, because the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The tremendous greatness that are there, how blessed we are because of that first and that second breath of God. His mercy on those who hold him in awe. He shows his strength how? By scattering the conceited, casting down the mighty, those who think that real power exists on earthly thrones. He fills those who are hungry, while the rich who think they don't need him wander away. And he keeps his promises. Promises of mercy to Abraham and to his children forever. That's why our soul magnifies the Lord for who he is and for all he continues to do. But again, the question recurs, do we want this? Is this our great desideratus, that the Lord himself comes personally doing all of these things? That's one of the reasons why we have Hannah today. Just like on December 19th, on Monday, we had the wife of Manoah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom. We're called to enter into the experience of these barren women. Just like they prayed with every cell in their body, with so much faith and almost desperation, for God to hear their prayers and finally give them a child. God wants us praying for him with that same fervor. Just like yesterday, when we ponder the Lord's desire, coming like a stag or gazelle, leaping upon the mountains, not being able to wait in order to get us to arise with him who was risen from the dead. As beloved, as pure, and as beautiful, and come to him. We're called to reciprocate that type of burning desire. That's what the Lord wants to fan into a flame the closer that we get to Christmas, so that he can carry out that more wondrous recreation to the full. Mary's Magnificat, we know, is a synthesis of the praise of all the heroic women in the Old Testament. She had interiorized this in such a way that she made it her own, and she interweaved it in the Magnificat. And so much did she do so that years later, when she was recounting this to St. Luke, or even through intermediaries when it had come to St. Luke, all of it was able to be recorded, because it was likely something that Mary didn't just pray once and write it down backwards in Hebrew on a piece of paper. It was likely something that she continued to reverberate over the course of all her years. And a heavy part of that Magnificat is what we have today as our psalm, taken as Hannah's praise for the gift that God had given her in Samuel. My heart exalts in the Lord. Why? The bows of the mighty are broken, the tottering gird on strength, the hungry batten on spoil. Even the barren wife bears not just a child, but seven sons. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He humbles, he exalts. And here comes the commentary on the O Antiphon. He raises the needy from the dust. Veni, salva hominem quae de limo formasti. Come save the person you have formed from the dust. He raises the needy from the dust. From the dung heap he lifts up the poor, to seat them with nobles and make a glorious throne their heritage. The Lord who formed us from the clay, and even more spectacularly has come to redeem us. That Lord we will greet on Christmas Day, praising him for this mystery in the opening collect. He lifts us up from our lowliness and exalts us with Mary and with all the saints, the people who have really shown us how to long for the Desideratus who is coming. May the Lord so inflame our desire for him that the whole world might catch this fire. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.